Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live right here from Bowie, Maryland with our pre-election show, or our pre-debate show, actually. Tonight's going to be the town hall, so we're coming on to you a little early here. I got a couple guests in the chat room, and I'm happy to hear that. If you want to all give me a call at 347-945-6713. We're all here to listen to what you have to offer for the debate tonight and where you think that this whole thing's going. If you want to just put the question you would ask to the candidate, if you've been one of those Gallup randomly, I'm sure, selected people to ask the candidates questions, what you would put in the show. And somehow I'm going to mail them, email them. I'm not sure how, but I'm going to make sure all those questions get to the candidate that they're addressed to if you get them in to me here on the Norm at Night show. Right now on TV, it's halftime at the American, where the United States, Nicaragua World Cup qualifying soccer match. If the United States wins, they're on their way to, the final group, the final qualifying group before next year's World Cup. And I'm real happy to hear that because, as anybody who knows me, I am a real true blue soccer fan. But if you want to call me and talk with me about questions that you think should be asked to the candidates, you just give me a call here at 347-945-6713, and we'll be glad to get these questions out into the general conversation, and hopefully we can cooperate with each other and we can indeed discuss what we would like the answers to be to these questions. And who knows, maybe one of the candidates will listen to a Norm at Night and hear us. But there sure are people that listen to Norm at Night, and I'm really proud to say that, we're almost at 70,000 listeners. We just plow through those 10,000 groups of listeners much, much faster each week as the show goes on. Again, I had a little trouble last week trying to get all the think squared away, and I think my pizza just came to the door, but somebody else is there to answer it. And that would be, I was just watching the Nicaragua goal being scored. Right now the United States is winning 3-1, so they should be able to, if they deserve to get in the cup for sure, they should be able to bring this home.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough with the soccer ball. Real quick carry around about the baseball matches. I think the Yankees won today, but I'm not positive about that. Let me check that out for us here at MLBMajorLeagueBaseball.com, and let's see what's going on. Oh, no, I take that back. It's game three, and the Yankees, I guess, have changed the lineup. The Cardinals are having a good series against the Giants. How about, you want to talk about sadness, how about those Washington Nationals? Because it would have been good to have Strasburg pitch in that fifth game, wouldn't it? Oh, wait, he's home taking care of his elbow. Well, I just hope to gosh that he gets another chance to be in the playoffs, because there's no absolute positive guarantee. But anyway, to the election. What is going to happen in this debate? What are your opinions? I have my own. But that's all I ever seem to do is give my own opinions here. And I admit some people like them. We got a lot of guests coming into the show. What are in the chat room, right? There's two now, 7888 and 7949. Welcome. What do you think we should be asking these candidates? Well, one thing for sure, I think the president needs to talk to the people who are asking him the questions. And the president needs to point out, whenever he is able to, the tall tales that Mr. Romney seems to believe and that he was telling, in my view, during the last presidential debate. Let's just start with the biggest dilly of them all. Mr. Romney claims that he's going to create 12 million jobs with his tax cuts. Well, somebody needs to remind Mr. Romney that President Bush had two, not one, but two of the largest tax cuts in history. And in his 8 years in office, he barely managed to create 3 million jobs. President Obama, in 4 years, was able to create 4 million new jobs, or more than that. Mr. Romney is claiming 12 million jobs. He's going to create more jobs than Billy Boy. Probably the greatest job creator in American history. Here's what happens, folks. Nowadays, when you give these big rich guys money in any form or shape, they don't invest it in new factories, in new plants, and in new equipment. There aren't enough people with enough money to buy the inventory we have now. Hey, Mr. Blondies, how are you doing? Welcome to the Norman Knight Show. If you got a question you'd like to put to the candidates, by all means, let us know and we'll get it out here on the air. I want to know how Mr. Romney is going to fulfill this pipe dream of 12 million new jobs. He sure isn't going to get them in the government, I guess, because all he wants to do is cut the government and make the government smaller. Unless, of course, every one of them wants to go out and become a soldier. Then there'll be plenty of room for you in the Romney administration, because we're going to need a lot of soldiers with all the wars that Mr. Romney wants to fight or seems to want to fight. Everybody wants to fight wars when it's somebody else's son, somebody else's husband, somebody else's daughter, somebody else's mother or wife who's going to do the fighting. The fact of the matter is we don't need to do any fighting. We need to take a restock of who we are. We've been fighting two unpaid-for wars since 2001. Since George Bush became the God-blessed president. And it's just enough of it. And we haven't even had any of these wars declared by the Congress. I mean, why do we even need a damn constitution? The other thing I would like to ask these candidates, both of them, why do you think you're going to do all of these things? You are the executive of the government. You execute what the Congress does. And it's about time that we got the Congress together and let the Congress do its job. We need to bring, here comes a question from Mr. Blondies. I'm waiting for this. I whenever a caller wants to talk, I am back and on of the, well, he's typing, but nothing seems to be coming here. But as we get through the first 15 minutes of our pre-election show, other things I would like to ask the candidates. Well, first of all, Mr. Obama, why didn't you point out during the debate last week that the only thing the Republicans in the Congress of the United States dedicated themselves to was your defeat in this election? It seems they did almost nothing for the country, and if you manage to win this election, even that work, they'll go down. Mr. Obama, why didn't you in the debate last week ask the country to give you a Congress where it's not going to be bipartisan or Republicans, it's at least going to have a majority of Democrats. So if they won't give you any ideas and they won't provide you with any ideas, you can do them yourself, just like you did in the first term. Mr. Romney, I am baffled by who else you would have met with. One of the things that amused me was you talking about how you met with the Democrats every Monday morning. Well, they made up 87% of your legislature. If you didn't meet with them, who would you have met with? And that brilliant health care law that you passed in Massachusetts. And yes, I said it's brilliant. Oh, wait, we got a question coming in here. Debates are pointless, says our chat room person. Romney is just a moderate in wolf's clothing. If he got elected, he won't do anything different than Obama. They are both ruled by corporate interest in K Street. What do you think? Well, what do you think out there? I know what I think, and if you want to call in and tell me what you think to that, I'll let you before I poison you are, not poison, I guess. But before I give you my opinion, well, you know, I can't really stop it. I tend to believe that the chat room person is correct. There really isn't that much of a difference between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. But whatever difference there is, yeah, I mean, Obama's a corporate, he's a corporate whore too. He didn't raise all the money that he's got, you know, by going out and sitting on street corners with the homeless. He got a lot of money on K Street, a lot of money, even more, I believe, will come out than appears to people to believe right now on Wall Street. He raises his family like a one percenter. No question about that. Just like Mitt Romney raised his family as a one percenter. Mitt Romney went to fancy private schools. Barack Obama's daughters, Mitt Romney's kids went to fancy private schools. Barack Obama's daughters go to a rich, upwardly mobile private school right here in Washington, D.C. It would be nice if he could get reelected so they could finish there, because I doubt they'll stay in Washington if they don't win. Romney might say that he would end Too Big to Fall. That is true. But Romney also said we should let the auto plants go bankrupt. Well, to paraphrase the words of, Joe Biden, Osama bin Laden is dead. And General Motors is alive. There is no way to end Too Big to Fail, because they are too big to fail, because if they fail, the way everything is intertwined within our financial system, a failure of the big guys will bring the whole thing crashing down. Including Mr. Romney's wealth. And you know Mr. Romney is not going to allow that to happen. So don't give me any of this too big to fail malarkey, as they used to say. That's Irish, by the way, I think. Or as they said on Saturday Night Live, maybe it's just a good old Irish punch in the face. That's Irish. And actually, the person in the chat room brings out a good point that what did happen all happened thanks to Bill Clinton. You better believe it all happened thanks to Bill Clinton. As great as that 8 years was, and there was bipartisan cooperation, but as great as that 8 years was, it seems to me that George Bush not only destroyed everything that had been built in those 8 years, but destroyed even more and handed Barack Obama a big pot of poop. Oh, the soccer game is starting again, the second half. The United States and Guatemala. Hopefully it'll be over by 9 o'clock so we can start the game. Nobody can end Too Big to Fail, at least not the way this economy and country is organized. Now, would it be a good thing to bring the whole thing crashing down? That's another question, and one that we'll entertain on another show. But I don't know. It's hard. But anyway, why doesn't somebody give me a call so I'm not just talking to myself out here? Oh wait, Mr. Blondie's typing again, so something good's gonna come from him. But remember, you can call me at 347-945-6713. I'll be glad to answer your questions. I'm not sure which Romney we'll see today. If we're going to see the rope-a-dope Romney, if but you know what? Enough of all this style stuff. What I'd really like these guys to come out and do is tell the truth. Just tell the truth. It's difficult to tell the truth. I got a call coming in here. Hold on. Yeah, you're on with Norm. Go ahead, 916. Welcome.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, you know. I got a debate coming up at 9. Move the show up. And hey, wait a minute. I got something coming in here. And Obama had a chance to change things with his supermajority in Congress. And he watered down the regulations.
Oh, I haven't been reading any of this. Let's see what we have.
I'm not sure that's entirely true, Mr. Blondie, but I'll tell you one thing. With his supermajority in Congress, he did change one thing. Nobody in America has to die without health care, and I don't care how much it costs. No child's going to die in the street when they can go to a hospital, and I don't care how much it costs.
Well, you won't get any argument from me.
to get all worked up like that.
Yeah,
I
well,
don't
you
think
know.
One kid in America should be hungry. Because they don't have food stamps, and I don't care how much it costs.
How about free telephones?
And welfare is fun. Quit your job and do it.
What about those telephones?
What about those cell
phones? Well, I was looking to see how much it cost me.
To what? Have a cell phone?
No, to provide somebody else with a telephone. Somebody who can't afford a telephone.
Who are you providing with a telephone?
Poor people. Low-income people.
So what should they do? Just lay in tenements in New Orleans when the hurricane comes and they can't call somebody to come and get them and die?
Well, I think the question is, do they deserve cell phones or landlines, you know? So it's not a lot of money, and I understand the reasoning behind it. But, you know, the unfortunate part is that you have people, you know, who get on video, who get on television and brag about, oh, look at that free phone. Oh, did it, you know, vote for Obama, get a free phone. You've seen the videos, haven't you?
Wait a minute. A laptop with internet access is better served than a telephone. Well, how about a smartphone in your pocket, which can do every last thing that a laptop can do?
Well, I hope we're not giving them high-end, you know, Androids and iPhones. I'm hoping they're just getting the basic thing. But
we're not giving anybody anything in this in the realm of cell phones. You can't buy a cell phone.
Yeah, we are.
Wait,
I'm sorry, Norm. We are.
You can't buy a cell phone with food stamps.
Well, you could probably, if you have the right person, you can probably buy anything with food stamps.
I'm talking about the way the program is designed to be used.
Yes.
And it's used much more in that way than in some scheming way.
Right. Well, okay. we're probably getting off track here.
No, we're not. What do you want to ask the candidates?
Well, I don't want to ask them about that. I want to ask them why they're both such goddamn warmongers.
I think that's a great question to ask both of them. What do you think about that, Mr. Blondie? Should we ask them why they're such, as the caller, well, as my co-host says, no such calling them a caller anymore.
Yeah. Well, here's
ask them why they're such goddamn warmongers?
Yeah. Well, I got Romney who wants to build the biggest army the world has ever seen. And I have no, you know, the guy has like zero experience. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's
Wait a minute, Mr. Blondie says, I got to get in. War creates jobs. Created a lot for George Bush, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well,
everybody in the army. Let's start with George Romney's five sons.
Yeah, well, we could have conscription again, and, you know, that'll employ people.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, well, I'm willing to give them a choice of either civilian work or military.
Why can't the Army do civilian work?
Well, we don't want to go there.
Why not?
We want to keep them as separate as possible, trust me.
All right, then let's abolish the Army.
Yeah. I mean, the same reason we don't put the Army on the border in Arizona, you know?
What do you mean? The Army is on the border in Arizona. Stop
we
that.
Don't, yeah,
now,
but you understand.
That is a fortified border.
Yeah, well, okay. I don't see landmines and I don't see 50 cals.
I didn't say there were landmines.
Well, that's what you'd end up with if the military took charge of the thing, right?
Or
the fences would be electrified, one or the other, you know.
It's the civilians want to do that.
Well, you know.
Boy, I guarantee you the debate isn't going to be this.
Well, okay. Well, anyway, let's get back to my topic. My topic is why they're both warmongers. Okay, Romney. 70% of his advisors, military and foreign affairs advisors, are all neocons left over from the Bush administration. So we know where they're going. They're going to push the button on Iran as soon as they can. That's
not Egypt.
We know that's going to happen. They've said as much. Now let's look at the Obama camp, see what they've been doing over the years. Well, how about 2,000 troops in Africa right now? How about the 100 troops he sent to Jordan to build a headquarters on the border? And let's see what else we got. Now we got a couple thousand Marines in North.
I'm not disputing your data. I just want you to substantiate it. I don't want you to give us a Romney here.
I'm not giving... I can substantiate all of it, every fucking bit of it.
Ooh.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I don't ask you to back up every sentence you come up with.
I just don't want people attacking you. How do you know we're putting a headquarters in Jordan, for instance?
Because I read on CNN.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
Do you want me to do that with everything I say? Because you're going
to
have a very boring show.
I would like people to go out there and read it themselves.
Okay, here's another one for you. The United States is in negotiation with Vietnam. They want to reopen Cam Ranh as a naval base.
A United States naval base?
Hell yes.
Wow.
We just put a couple thousand Marines in northern Australia.
Why did we put Marines in northern Australia?
We want presence in Asia in the Sea of China. You know, I don't. It sounds pretty freaking stupid to me. Or maybe they're going to rescue people when the next tsunami comes through. I'm not quite sure. Okay, it goes on and on, Norm. Obama, he put, then, you know, okay, we pulled out of Iraq. Well, then how come you put an assault brigade in Kuwait? Duh. Maybe you didn't pull out. You may have crossed the border, but you didn't really pull out.
Actually, historically, Kuwait is part of Iraq.
Yeah, well, whatever they want to say. But nonetheless, there's a whole lot of people sitting there waiting.
So that's what you would want to ask him. Why has he done
yeah,
all these things?
Because everything I'm looking at here tells me that you're preparing for one, another war. And in many cases, you know, you're provoking it.
One of our chat room people says that deploying troops to Jordan is just asking for it.
Yeah, there's already 100 guys there. I don't know how many more are going to be there. But you got to know, too, there are...
They only had four in... not Benghazi. They only had four there.
Yeah, well, here's the deal with Benghazi and that entire issue about, you know, Marines protecting embassies and all that. Okay, we have what we call a detachment of Marines. There are about 1,000 Marines in the detachment. There are 100 of them are in administrative functions. The rest of them, 900, are assigned to about 150 embassies that we have around the world. That gives you
not all in Benghazi.
Obviously, very well. It averages out to 6 per embassy.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah, this is the thing you need to understand. Their mission is to protect intelligence, classified information, and equipment. That's number one.
Not the ambassador.
No, that is their secondary mission. And there's so few of them, they couldn't offer any defense anywhere. I mean, not much enough. God.
Right. It's not like the embassy compound in Saigon.
Right. It isn't. There's nothing of that sort. So you've only got a very nominal group, you know, and they are there to protect classified documents, encrypting information, you know, technology, that sort of thing. That's the mission. They either save it or they destroy it, one or the other. I don't even know if they're armed. I suspect.
No, I know they're armed.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're armed at the gates.
So.
And there's an armory at every embassy where they keep the weapons.
Yeah, but, you know, you could get a wall safe.
You know,
an armory.
Wait a minute. This is really interesting. One of the chat room guys mentioned that Benghazi was a consulate, not an embassy.
Right.
I understand that.
So there's
something I always wondered about, and I would ask the president, why was the ambassador in a consulate and not in the embassy?
Yeah, well, there's one thing about that ambassador. He was very much a hands-on guy, and he liked to be with the people. I mean, he was, you know, he was very unique. You know, he didn't just stay in the building or anything. He was really trying to win people over. It's almost a Lawrence of Arabia moment.
Yeah, another chat room person says, from his State Department experience, in some cases it doesn't make sense to have a military presence when you're trying to make friends.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I just don't understand. It seems to me, if I'm running the show, okay, I can understand sending the ambassador. He likes to be hands-on. He likes to be down at the consulate. Why can't you have a helicopter in the backyard?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know, and it's shooting starts, getting a helicopter and leave.
Yeah, I'm not. You see, that's the thing. I mean, I don't recall. I mean, we don't see much news from the region. It all seems to be pretty well filtered.
No, I know. It's just. And Hillary Clinton, why? She's taking the heat for this guy.
Well, it makes sense for her to step up and do that because she's resigning at the end of the year.
If she's serious about it, she should have offered her resignation.
I think so, yeah.
And he should have accepted it.
Well, I believe he did, and it will be effective at the end of this term, providing
he wins
and has the next term. Otherwise,
That was her decision that I mean,
yeah.
I'm talking about she should have resigned right on the spot.
Oh, okay.
If indeed it was her responsibility, and if indeed she failed at it, and she is indeed the Secretary of State, she should have resigned.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I when people are at that level, you know, a Secretary of State, they don't get everything. You know what I'm saying? All kinds of other people who take care of these things.
Here's an interesting thing that also comes from the chat room. I have to assume that this is true until somebody can show me that it isn't. Why he may have been there, the ambassador, is because the CIA headquarters in country was next door to that consulate. And he may have been there for a briefing of some sort.
Oh, okay.
Hey, chat room, how do you know that the CIA consulate or CIA headquarters was next door to the consulate in Benghazi? I haven't heard that from anywhere before.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Because if I had, it may have actually made sense to me why the ambassador was in Benghazi.
Yeah.
No wonder it's such an effed up country. It was an Italian colony for years. Those are my people. We're lovers. We're not colonizers.
Okay. This is Russia.
Wait. Everybody, this is the kind of stuff we need. This is the kind of stuff that should go into...
Oh, okay. Dana Milbank. Okay, cool.
You see, that's right. You can see the chat. Everybody can see the chat room. Well, the other thing I'd like to ask Mitt Romney is how come Bain Capital, initial capitalization, came from El Salvadoran millionaires who financed death squads?
Oh.
And I can give you the Huffington Post stories on that.
Right. So,
what I really want to know, Mr. Obama, if I can find that out, how come you can't? I'm sure you could. And how come you haven't said anything about it? Unless, of course, you took money from them, as has been alleged in some quarters.
Well, let's put it this way. Iraq had money invested in the United States. all while we were, you know, we had war with him.
Saddam Hussein?
Yes.
And well, he was
nobody, we didn't touch his money.
He was our bosom buddy till we invaded, or till just before Kuwait.
Yeah. But, you know, and Hugo Chavez, Venezuela, I mean, has, you know, a chain of gas stations in the United States.
Chevron.
Yeah. No, Citgo.
Oh, I thought it was Chevron. I knew
No. Chevron's, you know, much bigger than this.
I knew it was one of those sea countries.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, this is going on as well. No, we aren't confiscating his property. I mean...
No, not in the least.
You know, I wouldn't say... Well, I don't... I mean, we're not in a state of war. There are no sanctions or anything of that sort. He's just belligerent. That's about it. But
I just heard today also, believe it or not, you can get out of, you can leave Cuba now without permission.
Oh, what was this now?
The Cuban government. Leave Cuba without permission. You just have to, as long as you have a passport and a visa from the country you're going to.
Well, isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly what it means, but I think it means that a lot of people are going on vacation and not coming back.
You know, I don't know if it's as many as, I think most of the people who aren't coming back have already left.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely in our interest to establish better relations. And obviously, we could do that. We could do that very easily. In fact, we could have done it decades ago if we wanted.
Another thing that most people don't know, guess where most Cuban doctors are trained?
Yeah, I've heard they do a pretty good job.
Howard University. There's a whole, that's where most Cuban doctors are trained.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, if it wasn't for the Philippines, we'd have an incredible shortage of nurses, too. What can you say there?
Laundry people, too.
Yeah. The percentage of Filipino nurses here is huge. It's like 30-40% in California.
Oh, in California. I thought you meant of all nurses in the United States.
Oh, no. Just, you know, they there's a lot of immigration back forth, and, some of it is arranged marriages and whatnot, and then military, of course, a lot of marriages there. And then eventually you start getting the whole family over, you know. But that's been going on for quite a while. But we have a couple of nursing schools or programs here, and the dropout rate is enormous.
We got a little less than 15 minutes left. Let's get some more questions to ask the president or to ask the challenger.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let's get real specific.
Yeah, I don't want any inane ones.
Yeah, okay. Our fiscal...
Why are you such a warmonger?
I thought that, you know, once I clarified why you're a warmonger and gave many examples...
A series of questions I think might be more effective.
Yeah, he might have some difficulty with that one, but... anyway, here's the other. We all know of the fiscal cliff in December, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what I'd like to know. I know he wouldn't answer it, but has he really drawn the line that if the Republicans don't concede to the modification of the Bush tax cuts, that he will either veto it or just let it expire. Is he serious about that? Now, that's a big deal. That's a huge, you know, because we're talking recession next year if we are going to do that. But
and what would you ask Governor Romney on the same topic? What kind of a question?
Yeah, well, with him, you see, this is that he's not involved in, he won't be involved in that process. So I guess I would ask him, once you're in office, come January, should everything expire the way we think it's going to, what new tax cut, what would you propose? Would he simply restore the Bush tax cut again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't think... Well, I don't think we can afford it.
And what would he do if they were filibustered?
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, he's... as long as the Democrats either retain a majority or sufficient votes to enforce a filibuster, he's not going to see any of that legislation anyway.
I got a chat room guests claiming that the sequestration will not happen. Neither party will let that happen.
Okay, well, sequestration, you know, their primary concern is the military. So
okay.
What they're going to, now I don't know what they're going to come up with. You know, they have to make cuts. And across the board looked like the fairest way to do it, and I think you could do it that way. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's plenty, everybody's got their pet project.
I mean, it seems like the only people that haven't gotten a pay cut in America is the Army.
Yeah. Well, that is true. I mean, not that they make all that much anyway, but...
Yeah, they do now. They do. I'm sorry, they do.
Well, it's better than it was, but considering the type of work and the hours, it just does not compare to the private sector. I mean, you think about it. A private security guard working in Iraq, what's he taking down, $100,000 a year, maybe more?
Maybe.
Probably. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do. Those guys get tons of money for that. And that was one of the biggest complaints from American troops when we were in Iraq, because there's these guys just driving trucks, making $150,000 a year, and they'd be assigned to protect them. I mean, you know, you can't live in that situation for very long. Certainly not without getting an attitude. So... Yeah, so anyway, yeah, the sequester, that's going to happen, you know, something is going to happen there, but how do you divide it? You know, you've got to cut this billion, and where do you do it? Because if we're saying that Medicare, and so, well, you can't cut Social Security, that isn't part of the process. In fact, I think they're both exempt from a sequester.
Social Security is part of the general fund.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks Social Security is the general fund. You can't renege on that obligation.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate that Social Security revenue goes into the general fund. I mean, I think that's absolutely the stupidest thing we could do. In fact,
well, Social Security comes from the general fund.
Well, here's the problem. The problem is when that money gets into the general fund, it gets spent. And it's not money that should be spent. Now, you can say that, you know, it goes into government bonds, which technically it does. But we borrowed against that. So a large part of our debt is due to that arrangement.
Well, what nobody wants to admit, if we paid the entire national debt off tomorrow, the country would go into a tremendous recession.
Well, we can't pay it all off because we have to. We require a certain amount of liquidity. Our bonds have to trade, every day. There's billions
right.
and billions we're trading around the world.
We could
so you have to maintain that, you know.
If we paid them off, it would be a catastrophe.
Right. Well, nobody's saying we should do that. What we are saying is that we can reduce our debt, let's say, to $10 trillion, $12 trillion, something like that, something more manageable.
It's at
something,
14 now, I think, right?
We're at 16.
Oh, 15. I thought it was 14 the last time I checked.
Oh, no. We hit 16, I think, a short time ago. Or we're way, we're extremely close to it.
You know what the whole problem is? You know, but this is not a problem. If our debt was a problem, people wouldn't be borrowing money from us.
Yeah, well...
I mean, lending us money.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. You know, if we keep doing that, now we can do this for a while longer, and there may or may not be repercussions, but, you know, we're essentially spending an extra trillion every single year, and there's no way around it if we're going to maintain what we're doing right now. So the point does come where when your debt is such a great percentage, you know, compared to your GDP, your economy contracts. We have 800 years of evidence that says this will happen.
But if nobody
our friend Ken Rogoff, I'll bring him back up again.
My friend Ken Rogoff, you sort of stuck to chess.
Nah, he's fine. Haven't seen him on the tube much lately, but, you know.
Yeah, I haven't either.
So,
anyway, I'm going to end a little soon. Time for final statements, folks.
Okay. I don't have a final statement. I've been mouthing off for over half an hour. That's enough for me.
Mr. Blondie, do you have something, one last thing you wanted me to get out to the company here before we go over to the debate? Uh-oh, Mr. Blondie's typing.
Oh, okay. See, I can't see that.
Oh, you can't.
I can't see him typing. Well, it'll come up eventually.
Well, right. It says typing.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of other guests early. Hey, everybody, I want you to know I got my first royalty check.
Ooh. You're in.
I came in with a big $8.57.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that for a month or?
No, that's for the last year.
Oh, okay. Jeez.
But, hey, it's still something. No, I won't go into the where I just let them pepper the archives with ads. I won't let them do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when your show starts, I get like a little video. It's usually not very long.
Right.
Here we go. All right. You can read it, right? This is from Mr. Blondie's EF.
Okay, all I have to say, this is from a caller in the chat room. All I have to say is that it's a shame that both parties have become very similar and these political parties are a sham. Vote for a third party in non-contested states to make a statement. These debates are no different than the WWF.
They're more boring.
I haven't even heard of that.
Yeah.
Not
I absolutely concur.
Not to make a statement, but to win the damn election.
Vote for Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson, Libertarian Party.
He's my guy.
I can never remember who the lady who's running for the Green Party is.
Oh, I hope it's... not that Cynthia McKinley again, is it?
No, you know what would be really... I'm not sure. I'm just not
sure. Oh, here we go. Jill Stein.
Mr. Blondie. But the thing that most people don't understand, this election is so close that they only got to win a couple states to take it into the House of Representatives. Mm. And then we would have a ball.
Uh-huh.
There's no telling what would happen. Then the whole sham of how, and then who knows, there might even be a whole revolution.
Oh, well. Well, so.
We haven't had one in the House of Representatives since 1800.
Should I get another box of ammo or what?
Yeah, I think I did. Hey, everybody in the chat room.
For self-defense.
Gary Johnson is okay, but everybody in the chat room, everybody on the air listening, and everybody with us, thanks for tuning in. We had a great hour, and we will be going to the debate now, and I'll see you next week. Or if this debate gets really hairy, who knows? Maybe I'll put a show on late this week.
Mm-hmm.
This is Norman Knight saying good night. We'll see y'all later. Thanks for calling, Carl. Thank you, everybody in the chat room, Blondie and all the rest. Your inputs were appreciated and thought about. And we are out of here now. I got this bad habit of liking Norman Knight.
Good night, everyone.